It's 1 year ago, more than 1 year, that I had a sermon in this church. I was honored at that time. And I preached about John chapter 17, the verses 6 to 19. And today I will just follow up the text and go ahead with John 17, the verses 20 to 26, because they speak about unity. And the sermon, the whole sermon is called The Desire of Unity. The Desire of Unity. Let me read from the Bible, verses 20 to 26. It's Jesus who prays. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are one in me, and I in you. That they all may be one in us. That the world may believe you, that you sent, may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me, have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am. That they may behold my glory with which you have given to me. For you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known you, that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your spirit. And please, touch our hearts and make your word a living water that helps us to live. Amen. The desire of unity. 4 points. First, Jesus prays for unity. Jesus prays for unity. That's very interesting because if we pray for something, it shows our hearts. This morning, I was in the car with Linda and she shared something. Pray for that, please. Shows it's on our heart. Something that's important. If we pray for something, that's not just we talk about it, it's not gossip or something. If we pray or if we share prayer requests, it means it's something important for us. It has a meaning. So if Jesus prays for unity, it shows that's not just one thing that should happen. It shows it's on his heart. It's deep. It's a desire. And we go forward and that says, I desire. Jesus uses this word. I desire to be united. So if Jesus prays for unity, it shows it's a very deep thing. This thing Jesus is longing for. And it's a thing that our hearts should desire. Unity. Jesus prays for unity. And that it is his prayer, it also shows that the answer of prayer is a gift. If Jesus prays for unity, that means he doesn't work at all for unity. We work for freedom. We work for peace. That's good. But there are things that just only can be given, like love. My wife gave her love to me as a present. I did crazy things to impress her. And I dressed myself and I had a little less weight 20 years ago and things like that. But still, her love was a gift. And if you pray for something, you ask for a gift. You know, you can work for it. You can do things and it's good to do it. But still, it is a gift. And unity is a gift. And if we see unity, if we experience unity, it humbled us in a way, because it is a gift. It is a gift to a church. It is a gift to churches from Russia, from Germany, from the States. And it's also a gift for a couple that unity could happen. It's a gift. And it humbles us that we can receive this unity. So prayer shows, and that Jesus prays for it, shows that it's that we humble have to take it from Jesus and say, thank you very much, if unity can happen. Unity is not something we can snip our fingers and then there's unity. It's a gift given by the Holy Spirit if we pray for unity. And a very interesting thing, if Jesus prays for unity, that shows it's not a commandment. It's not go ahead and do it. It's something different. It's something you can't just command and then it happens. If you command, there might be uniformity. Or there might be that all people do the same and think the same, but that's not it. If you pray for something, that's deeper. Unity is much more than uniformity. Love is much more than just obedience. Prayer shows that there's a deep thing in our hearts. And prayer also shows that there are individuals, and these individuals, created by God, made them his own personality, need to be one. Unity, Christian, spiritual unity, is the unity of the different persons. It's always necessary to understand that. The prayer is necessary because different persons, different meanings, different opinions, different histories, different biographies, different theologies, different... You can't make them just one by saying, be one. It's a miracle if unity happens through all this. But that's what Jesus prays for. And he wants us to be one as different persons. So the gift, the mystery is that these different persons become one. Unity is always the unity of difference. God created men and women to make them one, but he created them different. So difference, diversity, always means something special, because if you unite diversity, it's always more than it was before. One and one is not just two, it's more. Unity is more. It's always more than just an addition of things. So what Jesus prays for means that something deeper gets out of it than just one and one. And especially if it is different, it needs prayer. Look at my wife and me, for example. She's raised in a Christian home. Wonderful parents there were Salvation Army officers, obedient the whole life, and really humble persons. And she was raised in that. She was raised in the church. She sometimes said she came into the church when she was a baby, but it's wrong. She was already in the belly. So she came to church when she was just with her mother in the belly. So always in the church. And she worked in the church. And she did children's services and musician and everything you can do in a church. I was raised in a family. They were all addicted to alcohol or drugs. My sister was a prostitute. And my parents were divorced. So that was terrible. But then when I turned 20 and 22... I met Christians who really showed me that there's a living God and who can change lives. So I prayed and received Christ as my Savior, and things changed. Then I had to make a therapy, and it took me years. And after 10 years, I met Christina, or after 8 years, and we married. And that's a miracle that we could marry. And we have 5 children, and wonderful, but nearly every day, it's struggling because of our personality. It's just being one and everything is fine and 21 years of harmony and melody and ha ha ha. It's 21 years of different persons. 21 years of fighting and discussing, but 21 years of looking back and saying, there's a living God who answered to our prayers and who made the two of us much more than just two. Now we're 7. So, it's a miracle, and God prays for that. But this unity is his desire, and it's our desire. And we love to share that we can be able to be one because of Christ. And he prays for us. So, Jesus prays for unity. Unity of male and female, unity of different cultures, unity of people who see him, to know that we are one in Christ and our eternity will be together. And no lack of languages, no lack of any other things. Jesus prays for unity. Second, unity bears fruit. Unity bears fruit. Every team player, everyone who's a sports fan knows, every team player knows if the team has all the best players but no team spirit, they won't win the game. So you need the team spirit. We had the soccer European Championship, and there was a team with no star at all. They came from Iceland, and they beat the favorites. They won't win the champion. No, they go home now. But they won much more games than everybody expected them. Why? Because of the team spirit. They all were called Gunnarsson, Inglason, Hallason, Son. So you just, if you read the names, you see the whole team had the same name. So that was perfect team spirit. So no one was just getting out. That was wonderful. Like all the Polish are called Heimowski or something. But there was team spirit. And so why did they win? Because they had a team spirit. And they really took care of one of another. I know a lot of you are just our friends from Crossroad. A lot of you are in the army. And every soldier knows not one soldier can win a battle. You need a team. And you need to trust on one another. And you need to know what the other is doing. And rely on him and really trust in him. So Paul takes this picture of a soldier and also the picture of sports to show that what it means to be, to rely on one another, to be dependent on one another, to be a team. So, unity bears fruit and not just stars or people one out. If you want to bear fruit, and also spiritually, you need to be one. Unity bears fruit. And that's what Jesus says in his prayers. I don't pray only for you, but I praise to you who will come to Christ through you, who will come to faith through you. So, if this prayer is responded, if you behave like I pray for you, that will bear fruit and people will come to Christ in the future. If you behave like that. We need to know, as Christians, as parents, as leaders, as whatever, we are watched. People watch us. And usually they watch if there's unity. Children watch parents if they are united. The world watches Christians, and very often they tell to me, how shall I believe in Christianity if you have all this diversity, if you get divorced as Christians? They look for unity. They look if there's really love, what kind of spirit is in there. You will get to know all of our groups during these days, but I will introduce you one person. It's Mark. Mark, can you stand up, please, that everybody can see you? Mark, steh doch mal bitte kurz auf. Look, that is Mark. Mark is my friend. And sit down, please. It's fine. Darfst wieder sitzen. Mark is special. He has something, people call it Asperger. Maybe you have heard of that. And when his mother, Bettina, came to our church, she wasn't a Christian at all. And then she met some Jehovah's Witnesses and was there with the Jehovah's Witnesses. And now, I'm interested in the Bible, but not in the way they are. So she was looking for a church. She found our church website and the internet. And then she came on her own. And then beim zweiten oder dritten Mal, she took her son Mark with her. And she said, I need him because he's like a... How do you call it? A term, how do you, if you measure the degrees, cold? Thermometer? Wow. If I have to pronounce thermometer, I ask you to pronounce Heimowski. So, thermometer. She said, my son is like a thermometer. And I said, what do you mean with that? Yeah, if he feels well, the love is real. If he comes and if he says afterwards, so they really love me, then it is real. He always knows if there's real love or not. That was so interesting to me. So If people that have handicapped children or people that have children raised in a divorced family or something, if they come and if they see how we live, how we behave, they will have a sense if there's real love or not. That real love doesn't mean that everything is perfect, but they see, comes it from the heart or comes it from the mouth? They feel it. And so it's always a great thing that it is there. And if we are one, if unity is there and real love is there and the spirit of unity is there, it bears fruit because people long for that. People see it. If unity is there, it will bear fruit. And Jesus promised those who will believe, people will come to Christ if we really love each other and if we really live this unity. So, second point, unity bears fruit. The third point, unity reveals God's nature. Unity reveals God's nature. You, Father, and me, and I in you. You, Father, and me, and I in you. That's what Jesus said. And then he said, since the foundation of the world, we are one. Since the foundation of the world. If we look for the creation story, we can read there's God, and God spoke. So the word of God, that's Jesus Christ, was there. He spoke, and the Spirit was over the water. It was always the three in one. God's nature is being united, the three in one. That's God's nature. That's the way he is. And God cannot be divided. We can't say that there's the just God and the loving God. It's always the same. If you love someone, you will be just. If you're a real justice person, you will love them and not punish them. And if you punish them, because you love them, but not for the punishment, but for the thing that comes out of it, for the fruit. It can't be divided. It's just one. It's always one. There can't be a division between the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament. No, it's always the same. It's always the one and only and the same God. It's the nature of God to be united. And so Jesus says, I reveal this nature to them because you, God, sent me that they can understand. So what did God do to reveal this nature to man? He sends Jesus. And there it says, Jesus gave the glory of God to the people. What does glory mean? Glory means the visible side of God. Glory means that there is something that people can see. It's his clothes and what Moses wanted to touch. That's the glory. That's the thing that's seen. So Jesus said, I wanted to reveal the nature of God, and God wants to reveal his natures. And how did he do it? He sent me. He sent Jesus. Why came Jesus on the earth? That we can see the nature of God. We can see how he was with people that were sick, how he was with people that were obsessed, how he behaved with women, how he behaved with handicapped people, how he behaved with children, how he behaved with Jews and with Gentiles. In Jesus, God reveals his nature, and this nature unites us. It was a nature that unites people, that called them from every part, or every party, every place, just come together and be one in Christ. Find the real God. So, what did God do to reveal his nature? He sends Jesus. And Jesus shows how to love people and how to serve them. And so, if we want to be united, it's not just work for something. It's just to understand we can be united if we follow Jesus, if we are in his footsteps. Because he reveals the nature of God. And if we follow him, that will make union and that will unite us. Fourth point, Jesus desires for unity. Verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. It's his desire. It's the desire to be with people. Jesus has a desire to be with you. The desire to be with me. Jesus has a desire to be with people who don't know him. God has a desire to be together with the lost people. He doesn't want them to be lost. He has the desire. Like a father has the desire to see his sons and his daughters, to see them, to be connected with them. It's a desire. It's his heart. That Jesus went to the cross to die for salvation of men and women and from all the countries and all the nations. Why did he die on the cross? Not because this father wants to sacrifice his son. It's because Jesus had the desire to do whatever it costs, whatever it takes. I want to be together with them. I want to come over this separation. I want to be united with men and women. I want to be their father. I want to be their brother. I want to be their eternity. That's why God created them, to be together with God, to be one with God, to be united as Adam and Eve, as men and women, to be united as families. That's God's desire. That's where his heart beats. So that's what where he invested everything. He invested that prayer, and that prayer was given. He prayed just the day before he went to the cross. He knew what it would cost him, but he prayed, I will give everything because that is my desire. I want to be with you all the time. Jesus is the creator. God is the creator who made us for having unity with God and man. He's the redeemer who made it possible to find this unity again. And he's the one who sends us into a family with brothers and sisters from all over the world who are believers. He wants unity between us and God, between us and the others, because it's his desire, his desire. To zusammenfassen, I don't know the word, to come to an end, to give a... Huh? to give a conclusion. Sorry. The desire of unity. 4 points I mentioned. The first one, Jesus prays for unity. So if we want to reach unity, it's hard work, but it's also prayer. Not our work can make it, but it's a gift that is given by God himself. The second point, unity bears fruit. And unity as parents, unity as a church, unity as a team, if we are united, that bears fruit. The third, unity reveals the nature of God. He is one. And he can't be divided, never ever. He is the one and only. And Jesus reveals how this one and only God is. That's why he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Because he's one. He's one. And the last, Jesus desires for unity. Really desires. And he gave everything to do it again, this unity that broke down. He just gave everything. And it's his desire. It's his desire for you and him personally. It's his desire for you and your husband or your wife. It's his desire for you and your children. And it's his desire for the church. Unity. To be one in his love. Wide over borders. And to share it with the people and the world. Amen. Am I on? Okay. Let's have a prayer. Father, thank you so much for your heart. Thank you, Jesus, that you revealed God's heart. And we know about this heart. There's no, we don't have to, we're not blind and tapping around. We really can see the light. And you, Jesus, revealed it. Thank you so much. And thank you that the unity you will give to us is not just because we are so good people. It's because you gave it and you made it possible. And you offered your life. You gave everything you have. Thank you for that. We honor you. We worship you. And we humble ourselves and say, thank you for all the love you gave to us. And we want to follow you and give love to our husbands and to our wives, to our children, to our brothers and sisters, and to the people who don't know you. We want to share it because we got it from you as a gift, just a free gift. Thanks for your heart. Thanks for everything you gave for us. And thanks that if we can celebrate the Lord's Supper, that it reminds us what you did for us, what you gave for us. Thank you that you died on the cross, and thank you that you rose again. Thank you that you live and you're here in our midst. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you love Jesus and that you reveal him into our hearts. Thank you for brothers and sisters and the unity. Thank you for everything we can experience because you made it happen. Amen.